Everything that you can perceive, no matter what it is, since your birth, through all of your senses, cannot be who you are. All of these things that you perceive, that you feel, that you hear and touch and smell, are objects of perception. The real meditation is not an action, it's a state. It's a natural state of being. But the way we use this word now, it means more like a concentration. So people meditate, but they actually concentrate. They use various objects to bring their attention to. It could be the sound of the river. It could be to observe one's breath, to observe one's thoughts. It could be also to use different visualization techniques. The real practice of meditation is to learn to be still. Today, I want to talk about the practice of meditation. It's a well-known practice throughout the world. There's a lot of research and data that shows the benefits of regular practice of meditation. But what is meditation? I see a lot of students who come here and who practice yoga, because I teach yoga. They don't necessarily practice meditation also. So I want to talk about that. And I want to share with you what I believe meditation is and how it should be practiced. And hopefully after this video, you'll have a sense, an experience maybe, of what the state is, and maybe I will help you to enjoy this practice and not be afraid of it. So meditation, as it is used, especially in the West, is a word that means some form of action, to meditate. And people ask, do you meditate? And say, yes, I meditate 20 minutes per day. When we talk about it like this, it seems like it's an activity that we have to do. So the real meditation is not an action, it's a state. It's a natural state of being. But the way we use this word now, it means more like a concentration. So people meditate, but they actually concentrate. They use various objects to bring their attention to. It could be the sound of the river. It could be to observe one's breath. It could be to observe one's thoughts. It could be also to use different visualization techniques. But all of this requires energy and an action. The real practice of meditation is to learn to be still. It's to not participate in not only whatever is happening outside of us or even within us. Everything that you perceive through your senses, everything that you hear, everything that you see, everything that you can touch, cannot be you, because you are the seer of it. If you hear my voice right now, it's my voice, my sound frequency is reaching your ears, and you know you are not me also because you can hear me. But the same thing, you can feel the clothes on yourself, you are the seer of it, you are there to perceive it. Therefore, you cannot be that. Everything that you can perceive, no matter what it is, since your birth, through all of your senses, cannot be who you are. All of these things that you perceive, that you feel, that you hear and touch and smell, are objects of perception. You are the subject. You are the seer of it. It's mathematical. If I see my hand, I'm looking at my hand. My hand is an object, and I'm the subject watching my hand. there is a space between my hand and me, and it's two different objects, two different things. My hand is one thing, it's an object, and I am the subject. I am the eye, consciousness, watching my hand. There is a space in between the object and the subject. And this space that creates some kind of freedom and a liberation from the object. You can also observe your body from where you are sitting right now, standing. You can feel any part of your body. I can ask you to feel your right hand. I can ask you to, even without moving, or even if you close your eyes, you can feel your right foot. You are the unmoving subject perceiving different parts of your body. But if you can perceive your own body, it means you are not your body. You are the seer of it. And everything that is happening within you also, maybe right now you can feel some different emotions. Emotions are coming and you are there to perceive it. And sooner or later, emotions will go, but you remain here as the seer. Sometimes you get big emotions, sometimes you get small emotions, but everything passes and the seer remains. So if you can perceive emotions, you cannot be emotions. Emotions are not who you are. They are not you. And they are apart from you. So you are not that. You have this capacity to observe your thoughts and, in a more general sense, the voice in your head. Once again, if you can see your thoughts, if you can perceive them, if you can be aware of them, that means you are not your thoughts. If you were your thoughts, if your thoughts and you were one, you would not be able to see it, because to see something, to perceive something, you have to be apart from it. Just like with your eyes, everything that you bring in front of your eyes, whether it can be a cup of coffee, I can see it, your hand, you can bring anything, the forest, the sky, your house, your car, everything you can see that is in front of your eyes, but you cannot see your own eyes using your eyes. You can try turning your eyes around. It's not possible. Now, why is it not possible to see your eyes using your eyes? I want you to think. That's why I pause. Why is it not possible to see your eyes using your eyes? It's not possible because your eyes are one with them. And they can only see something that is separated from them. And the only way that you would be able to see your eyes using your eyes is if you place a mirror. So if you go in your bathroom, later on you can check. If you look in the mirror, you feel like you're looking at your eyes, but you're not looking at your eyes. You've never looked at your eyes. The only thing you can see in the mirror is a projection of light on a flat surface, but it's not your eyes. Your eyes have never seen themselves. They've only seen a projection of themselves. In the same way, you can perceive things that are very easy to perceive. Like right now, if the sound is on, you can perceive my voice, you can perceive the light around you, you can perceive the clothes on your body. You can perceive many things also more subtle within yourself. Different feelings, sensations, emotions and thoughts, and moods. But all of these things are separated from you. We are trying to find who we really are. and we are the seer of it. So this is one of the ways you can describe what we are trained to do when we practice yoga, or when we practice meditation, or when we're trying to awaken and be liberated. We are trying to find the real I. And there's two ways you can go about it. Either within everything that is there, you can try to find your way and perceive the I. But more simple than that, is to realize everything that you are not, because you see it and you let go of it. And the truth of yourself is revealed. This is the practice of meditation. This is what we're trying to do. So this is the first part of the meditation, which requires a little awareness, a little concentration, a little discernment. You have to discern. And one thing you can maybe take out from this video is, I cannot be what I see. I cannot be what I perceive. You have to remember this. And you can check also for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Are you what you see? Are you what you perceive? Are you what you feel? And through this practice, you can learn to more quickly let go of the false me, the false sense of I, to reveal the real truth of you, who you are. So this is the practice of meditation. It becomes more and more subtle. So in the beginning, you will be able to at least perceive the more evident things to perceive. You should concentrate a lot on feeling your body. And this is a good way to be present also during your day. When you are walking, when you are sitting, when you are talking to others or driving. If you want to be present, you can just be aware of your physical sense. Just be aware of your physical body. You can do it right now. Every time you are perceiving your body, you are present. You can perceive different things. There's so many things you can perceive. Like right now, I'm aware of the clothes on myself. So that's what I'm perceiving right now. But you can perceive also the contact of the air on your skin. Usually you can feel that. You can perceive sometimes more subtle sensation, like little different sensation at the level of the skin. You can feel also things like the contact with the earth and the rooting, the connection. These are all ways to be present. But you could also feel pain. Pain is also a good way to be present. I have students sometimes who come here and either for the first yoga class or later on, and they say, hey, I have a pain. I'm going to try to do whatever I can in this class. And I tell them, you have a pain. That's good. Because now you can be present. But that's not what we do usually, if you look at it. When you have a pain somewhere, you can analyze your behavior. You want to do anything to take away the pain. Most people are ready to take a medicine. Are they ready to do anything that will take away the pain? And I would argue that by running away from the pain increases, or at least the initial reason that brought this pain about has not been resolved. So I would say that when you have a pain, when you have something that is not in alignment, you should bring your awareness on it. For example, if I had a shoulder pain or neck pain, or if somebody would come to see me with that, I would tell them, every day try to offer your awareness to this specific point and your light of awareness on the pain is what will liberate you from it. This is the power of awareness. You are awareness. This is what you really are. And awareness is not something that you do. Awareness happens. Like right now, I could ask you, can you stop to be aware? Try very hard. Can you stop being aware? It's not possible to stop being aware. From the moment you wake up in the morning, the moment you go back to bed, while you are awake, at least, and sometimes during conscious dreams, you are spontaneously aware. It's happening. Awareness is not something that I do. Awareness happens. But what you can do is direct that light of awareness. And at least try to direct it. Most human beings are not even aware of the voice in their head. And we've seen that we cannot be what we perceive or what we feel or what we see. Another point very important is we are trying to find the truth. We're trying to find something that is true. And there is something called ultimate truth. It means that it is always true. It cannot change. It cannot be true today, and then I see you next week, and it has changed. Or 10 years ago, it was different. That means it's not an ultimate truth. So what is true is constant. And if you look at the various level, if we start from outside of ourselves, the weather is changing. Time of the day is always changing also. Like right now, look around you at what time of the day you are. Is it sunrise? Is it the energy of the midday? Is it sunset or evening? But the outside energy is constantly changing. And this has an impact on us. We don't feel the same when it's completely dark outside or when it's sunset. And we feel very optimistic during sunset. So this is always changing outside of us. Time is also moving, and you can perceive time. Time is changing. But if you look closer at your own body, your body keeps changing. The skin is rebuilt, and every cell of your body actually in 1 year time has been redesigned, even to your bone cells. So if I see you again in 1 year and you introduce yourself and you say, hey, it's me. Actually, nothing that was there 1 year ago is there right now. Except some part, maybe if you have long hair, not like me. But the body keeps changing. First of all, it grows, and it grows through an aging process. So that's why you see that you don't look the same as 10 years ago. Also, even the skin, the bone, the muscles, the tissue, the different fabric of your physical self keeps changing. But more subtle than that also, your emotion field keeps changing. Sometimes you feel happy, sometimes you feel sad. Sometimes you feel optimistic and then pessimistic. The moods keep changing during the day. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to find something like meditation or yoga. It's because I get tired of this mood swings and mood change. I feel it's very hard to keep that those highest states of consciousness. And when you go down and the mood is becoming negative and your frequency lowers, it's very hard to keep a balanced mind. But at least you can recognize that even your emotional state keeps changing. Everyone, even a two-year-old could say it. Now, even in your mind, your thoughts keep changing. Sometimes you have many thoughts that come. It's like agitation, so many things you need to do. You're worried. You feel you're late. And you are like running thoughts and running mind. And sometimes you feel lethargic and you can't concentrate. And sometimes you have those beautiful moments where there are no thoughts. It could be when you do something you really love. It could be when you do something that really requires your attention. Or it could be also because it happens. Even thoughts keep changing. It can be even more subtle than that also. Your memory keeps changing also. Things that happened in the past can have an effect on you even today. And I know for myself, there were so many things that were perceived as being negative. But then 20 years later, 10 years later, you look back and now you can see that from that point, you've done a different travel that brought you to this other point where you learned something and then to the other point. So in the end, that negative experience, which was might have been the beginning of something that helped you expand. So you don't look back anymore with a negative eye on something that happened. So you can change your memory also. So memory is also changing. You know your imagination is changing because you keep imagining different things, different scenarios, so it's not always the same. But also the image you have of who you are, the idea you have of yourself. Sometimes you love yourself and sometimes you don't like yourself. Sometimes within the same day, you will change. Sometimes you feel very confident and sure of yourself. And the next time you feel very weak and you feel inferior, you feel not good enough for various reasons. So even my own image, the idea I have of who I am, keeps changing. So you could argue that all those things that are changing outside of yourself and also everything within yourself keep changing. Everything. Everything you can name, everything you can talk about keeps changing. But isn't there something that is here right now that is not changing and that is able to perceive everything else that is? From your center, from your eye, of consciousness, things are not moving from that place. But your eye of consciousness, your awareness, is directed outward to perceive, and awareness perceives things that are changing, changeful in nature, also within ourselves. But it's important to try and practice recognizing that there is a space in us that is always stable and is not affected by conditions, by time, or by any other reason. This is the I consciousness. This is where you are perceiving me from. It's your center. And this place has not changed since you were born. Everything else has changed and has evolved, but this has remained the same. If you look at a baby when it's born, it's coming out and it will take its first inhalation before crying usually. The last breath will be an exhalation. When you go, wherever you go afterwards. But from the moment you were born, you were aware that you exist. You had a sense, I exist. It's not your parents after a few days, because you did a few days, that came to you and say, hey, Charlotte, you exist. And you're like, oh yeah, thank you. No, nobody had to tell you you exist. You just knew. It's a known fact. You don't need to prove it. You know you exist. You exist even before you could think about it. Even you can form any meaningful thoughts in your mind. You knew you existed. Even before your parents put a name onto you, you will be Ben. Okay, I'm Ben. But you were aware spontaneously without any effort, because you cannot change that. It's effortless. You are effortlessly aware. So the practice of meditation would be to try and come back to the space of awareness, which is effortless, and trying to stabilize yourself within that space. And to do that, you need to start from the level of what you perceive, and you perceive it and you let it go. You remember you are the seer of it. And slowly, slowly, you start letting go of body, thoughts, emotions, feelings, memory, imagination. I let go of my name. I let go of the idea I have of who I am. I let go of my moods, my attention. And then I arrive where I am always. I am always awareness. And you will see that practicing this way, it's much more easy, because a lot of people are not practicing meditation because they feel that they cannot control their thoughts. They tell me always, oh, I have too many thoughts, and my mind is way too agitated, so I cannot meditate. I cannot stop my thoughts, they say. You don't have to stop your thoughts. You can't even control basic things in our life. How will you be able to control your thoughts? You can try for the next hour to see that you are not in control of your thoughts. The challenge is for the next 1 hour, 60 minutes, try to stop thinking. You will see you'll not be able to. You can also try to have, for the next 24 hours, only positive thoughts happening in your mind. If it was you who was doing the thinking, you would be able to, because you'd be the creator of thoughts. So you're like, okay, I will create good thoughts. I'll create this one, and I won't create this one. But you are not even the creator of your own thoughts and feelings. If you slow down and you realize that thoughts and feelings are just appearing within you, and what you can do is at least be aware of them, and you don't have to stop them, because you cannot. Usually you cannot change them, but what you need to do is just be aware of them, and the awareness of them reveals the space from you and the thoughts, from you and the feelings. And when you practice more and more just being aware, you are aware even before the next thoughts comes in. Then thoughts will lose their power. You'll be more and more living outside of your mind, outside of your thoughts and feelings, and you'll be free. This is true freedom. Most people don't realize that there is a voice in their head. Even sometimes people who've lived 100 years, they don't realize that there's not only a voice in my head, but there's a voice in my head that I can be aware of. But the real spiritual practice has to start from a place where you realize that there is a voice in my head that I can observe. This is the beginning of spiritual practice. And when you observe that voice, which is usually negative, if you start paying attention, you will slowly detoxify the true self from the false self. But be aware, when you start this practice, you will be aware of everything that is uncomfortable, everything that is undesired within yourself. And most people don't really want to be aware. They would do anything but to be aware. If you look, when you are angry, okay, let's say the last time you were angry, remember the feeling of anger rising within yourself. It can get really strong, but what do you do when you feel angry? You don't want to feel it, you don't want to be aware of it. The worst thing that you can do if you have a partner is when they are angry, you take a mirror and you show them their reflection of anger. They will hate to see themselves angry because it's ugly. And it feels uncomfortable when you're angry. You don't like that feeling. So you would do everything to run away from that feeling. You will lash out on others, or you will try to take your mind away from it, call a friend, go for dinner, go for a walk, or everything to avoid and run away from that feeling of anger. I would argue that running away is just going to make things worse. And there's not even a turning around to do. This is just an image. All you have to do is bring your awareness on anger and feel it fully, knowing that it's not you. And you try to observe it with uninterrupted vigilance and awareness. Awareness is like a light. And the light of awareness is enough to dispel darkness. You don't have to fight. You don't have to take out your weapons and be ready for combat. All you have to do is to be aware. It's the same thing if you have anxiety. So many people suffer from anxiety. Do you know the feeling of anxiety? You can say yes in the comment if you know. Is it here right now? Somewhere in everything that you perceive, if you're somebody that feels anxiety sometimes, can you locate anxiety within everything you perceive? Because usually it's always there. That feeling of anxiety is also something we don't want to feel. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. We want to feel comfortable. We want to feel good. But the desire to feel good, the desire to feel nice and experience everything comfortable and nice, actually makes us suffer. Because if in this moment anxiety is in your reality, you trying to feel good creates a distortion, creates an opposition between the truth, the reality, and what you want. This is the real practice, is to become aware. And throughout the day, you have these opportunities, even when you are doing things, because everybody is so busy right now. Even when you are talking to others or driving or working, you should become aware of your feelings and emotions and thoughts. The restlessness of your mind, observe your judgments, observe sometimes the feeling of jealousy arising, knowing that is not you. Observe those moments where you lack confidence, because it's a feeling also, lack confidence. Observe when you want to complain also, even before the words come out, oh, my life is so hard. There's a feeling arising in you. Be aware of it. The practice would be to start to be aware of it, but without being sucked in and identifying with it and saying, I am angry. I am anxious. Because if you stop and you think about it, the I is never angry. Awareness is just aware. You are there before anger comes. And a certain situation arises, and then anger starts to come into your awareness, It can be more or less strong. It's perceived. And sooner or later, awareness will go, but you will still be here. This is the proof that you are not anger. Anger is not something you are, it's something you feel. So you should not say, I am angry. You should say, I feel anger. You should say, you should not say, I am anxious, I am worried. You should stop saying, I'm sick or I'm scared. You should say, I feel. And now that you know about it, next time you feel, you'll remember. And there's so many opportunities to practice throughout the day. It was a nice story that was shared by one of my guru, one of my teachers, Muji. And he talked about this group of 10 people in the jungle who were walking, and suddenly they had to run because they were being pursued by something. Let's maybe use a bear. So they had to quickly run away, this group of 10 people, and they arrive at a big river with a big flow and very dangerous, but they had no choice because the bear was coming. So they quickly started to cross the river, and they managed to do it. But when they arrived on the opposite shore, they wanted to be sure that everyone was safe, so they started counting. So everyone was aligned, and one person came and counted. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And they said, 9. Is there one somebody missing? And they took turn to count the whole group. So another person came and everybody else was aligned and they started to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Where's the 10th person? And thankfully there was somebody who was walking by who saw this group and got closer. And then he said, is there a problem? And they say, yes, we had a problem. We were pursued by a bear and we were 10 people, 10 of us. And now we counted several times and it seems like we are only 9. Somebody is missing. And he says, okay, I'm going to count you. He says, count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I count 10. He said, it's not possible because we all counted and we counted 9. So he said, okay, show me how you counted. So the person is counting all the other 9 person. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then he stops. And the passerby took that hand of that person and pointing it to him, 10. You forgot to count yourself. You forgot to count yourself. So this is what we do. In everything you perceive in this moment and everything you have been able to perceive since you were born, since you were given the gift of consciousness, is something that is all other than what you really are. You are the number 10. You are the eye of consciousness, which is not an object that you can perceive. It's the place where you are perceiving from. So this is why you've never seen yourself, your real self. But you cannot be apart from it. You are that, but your light is looking outside of yourself. Just like my eye can perceive the whole world, but my eye cannot see itself. So this is the whole goal of yoga, of meditation, of all the various spiritual practices and religion. And I would argue that this is the goal of even the highest goal of this human life, is to discover the truth of who you are. Most people around you will not be interested to know who they are, because the whole world is there, so we get lost in that world. And we believe that the outside world is, we're going to find something one day, you know. And next year I will be complete, I will find something. It's like a silent energy within us that something is missing. But you have to realize that maybe when you've had enough, or when you're lucky to have had a difficult life, which sometimes is also a form of grace, that you're tired of it and you want to find perfect peace. That's why the sages of the past and of the present are sharing is the opportunity you have in this life to experience perfect peace. Not in paradise later on when you die, you know, not in another life. You can experience it right here, right now, but it's not going to be in the form that we expect it. And the peace that is the goal is here right now. But it's kind of like overshadowed or blocked by the false identity and the false sense of I, the personality and the character that we all play. It's something that's been built over the years. We were given a name. You will be George. And then George, as a young baby, starts to look around and observe how everybody is doing in this world. Ah, okay, that's how you do it here, okay? And we start to imitate. You know about maybe, I don't know how I share this, but the study of these experiments on monkeys who are very similar to us in the way they react. To highlight how we do things because of social pressure. So there were these monkeys in a room and there was a ladder. And the scientists would put bananas at the top of the ladder. And then every time a monkey would try to go up, there's this huge ring, like very uncomfortable for monkeys, that would ring and they would go crazy. And so every time one monkey would try to go, the others would take him down, because then they understood that when you go up, the bell rings. And so the whole group of monkeys stopped going there, because they understood that if they go there, there is pain coming. But then they started putting a new monkey, removing an old one, and that monkey, not knowing the rules, would try to go up. The bell would ring and they would take him down. But after a while, they went further. They keep changing. And at some point, there would be no original monkeys. And they would all have been switched by new monkeys who didn't know the rules. And what happened? And they would still continue to do the same thing. They would prevent the others from going up. And not knowing exactly why, because they never heard the bell, but they just knew it, that you should not go there. As human, we do exactly like this. We pick up things from our parents, most of the time unconsciously, through emotions and behaviors. Sometimes not even without talking. We pick up things from society around us, from school, from the environment, from the culture. And this builds up over time. And then we say, this is me, this is who I am. But how much of this that you say is you, is really you? You know, that's what you need to investigate. Do you want to know who you really are? Do you want to know who you would be without the fear of others judging you? Are you ready to take the next step and have the confidence to really be yourself, even if some people might not like it? Or do you prefer to compromise your freedom and your peace just to please others? This is the choice that you have to make. And you can start today just by practicing meditation. To be aware. So what I recommend is you can start very easy. I would not do meditation for half an hour and then you get, or 1 hour if you've never done it, because you'll do it and you might appreciate it, but then it's so much that you might not want to do it the next day. So more simple than that is you can start by doing it for 5 minutes. Morning, before starting the day or evening when the day is over, or any time of the day that you feel the desire to do it. You sit down for 5 minutes. You don't need any sound. You can have a little meditation sound if that helps. But you can also have silence. You don't have to sit on the floor. You can sit on a chair also. You sit, you close your eyes, and you observe. You observe your thoughts, your feelings. You observe your body, how it feels like. You observe your breath. You observe your restlessness, you observe your fear, you observe your anger. Whatever is there in the space of awareness is perceived. From a place that is just aware, it's just witnessing. It's not participating in what it sees, it's not judging. It's not trying to remove if you feel something uncomfortable or negative. You're not trying to push it away. You're just trying to look at it with compassion and patience. You observe it. From a place of peace and of quietness, you observe the noise of yourself. And day after day, if you keep doing this, just 5 minutes, you will keep that elasticity and that capacity to come back to that witnessing position. You can do it first sitting down as a practice. But then I would highly recommend you to do it every time you remember it during the day. You should be doing it right now. In this conversation, you must have had some feelings, emotions, and thoughts. You should be aware of them. And you will start to detoxify from the false sense of I, and automatically the real sense of I will be revealed. And from that place, you will also benefit from an improved physical health, improved level of energy, a better access to your intuition and your guidance, because we are always guided, but we don't recognize, we don't see the signs, we don't hear, we don't see what is subtle. You will be less afraid. You will be more able to take good decisions by not thinking, by not trying to resolve problems. And you will be in a more peaceful state. This also cleans your aura. After, if you practice regularly, when you go back to people who are usually pulling you down, it will affect you less. By doing what? Just being aware. If you suffer from anxiety, just take that as your new challenge. So by bringing your awareness to anxiety, it will slowly dissolve. You don't even have to have the desire to dissolve it. You just watch it. And the eye of consciousness, the light of consciousness, creates and reveals the space between you and it. If you suffer from anger, watch anger. If you have pain, any pain that is chronic, start giving your attention. If you suffer from back problem, start being aware of your back. You can do it sitting down. Just keep continuously observing where you have a pain. And you will see it will move. This will go and something else will come up. And this, because we always talk about detox, you have to detox. I drink juices, I fast. This is the highest form of detoxification. Is becoming aware. This is to find your real power. This is the sixth sense, which is beyond our sensory senses, which is much more important than our eyes or ears. This is where everything comes from. This is where your world starts from your center. And I would argue that the place where you're looking from right now, your center, is the same place I am looking from right now. We all one. We all looking from the same place. But when the light of awareness comes inside this physical being, there is a specific sound, a specific tune that is played that creates a character and a personality and a person. But when the same light goes within yourself, it plays over different music and different sound. But if you remove the light from your body, it's just completely dead. There's no life and it doesn't look like anything it was before. Even if you're somebody very close to you that you love and that you feel very close to, if you remove the life within them, you would not even recognize them. Because this is what we see in others. We see the light. But because the light is always there, we don't see it anymore. But this is what creates life. Without the light, there's no life. It's just skin, bones, blood, brain, you know. If you were to open me right now, you open, you look inside, where is Ben in this? Where is Benoit in this? Is it this heart? Because now you can have a surgery to bring somebody else's heart. If you open the brain also, which part of the brain, you know, where am I? So we are not really in the body. I would say that the body is within us. But all this wisdom, you don't have to believe it. You should find out for yourself. And just starting simply, every day 5 minutes, to sit and to become aware. So it's a very restful activity because you're not doing anything. Like we said, awareness happens. It's not you doing awareness, so you just sit. And everything that is happening, like a bubble perceived in within that awareness, you see it, and the seeing reveals the space. Even if you perceive something negative, I practice not being bothered by it. This is what I would suggest you would do, you would practice daily. This is the highest things, the most beneficial thing you can do for yourself to change your life completely. If you have important decisions to make right now, you don't know how to go about, stop thinking. If you have problems, you know, you have to fix, stop trying to find a solution. If you're not healthy or so, learn to be aware. If you, you know, want to have a more fulfilling life also, you should practice this. And this is how you will change, because we don't change by force. You see it, many people are trying at the end of the year for the new resolution to try and force change. Oh, from this year, I will try to meditate for half an hour. I will try to eat well. I will stop doing this. I stop doing that. And they can do it for a few days, but slowly, slowly, they give up on it. Because that's not how you change. You don't change by force. You change by becoming aware. Everything that you start to become aware within you, you start to free yourself from it. And slowly, slowly, a space will be revealed. And from this space, silence will come, wisdom will come, true knowledge, true health, perfect peace. All of this quality that we are always sometimes unconsciously looking outward, it's actually coming effortlessly and abundantly and timelessly within you. You just have to detoxify yourself from the false sense of I. So feel free to comment if you've already tried or if you're ready for trying. Feel free also to ask a question if you're not sure about the technique, but basically just sit and become aware. And if you've done it for a few days, just come back and let us know how is it for you. And share with your friends. Please like our video, because we need to share this knowledge with as many beings as possible. And follow us also. Namaste, thank you, and see you for the next video.